morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Beth Ann. You know, we now speak about consumers of news, and for the consumer of news, you can feel as if you're standing up in a rubber boat sometimes.
Very often, a rubber boat that has a big hole
big
on
hole
one
in
side
it.
Of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and the question is, what do you do about it? First, you got to kind of know that you're standing up in that rubber boat,
right,
and it's got a leak in it. We've known that for a while, but how it's taken on a different connotation recently, well, that's our first conversation this morning. Now, for decades, you've probably seen them, those stories that arrive in your email with entreaties to take action before something is too late. And if you've been emotionally hooked before you check them out, say on Snopes, you've probably sent them along to family, friends, and coworkers. But fake news has taken on a political meaning lately, well beyond lies passed off as truth. Contributing editor Neil Milner is back with some help to help build your news literacy. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann.
Okay, so let's just get right to it. Fake news now isn't just lies passed off as truth.
Well, what's happened is that fake news, like a lot of other terms, has taken on a kind of political meaning, and the meaning is anything that you oppose is seen as fake. And our new president, Donald Trump, is a master at doing that. Anything that he disagrees with, he'll call fake news.
Regardless of fact.
Regardless of fact. Fake news in the regular term, and I think the term is we're going to lose it out to politics, but fake news is basically lies that get passed off in various forms, more through social media, as the truth. That's basically what fake news is. And that's what we're talking about here when we're talking about ways to overcome fake news. That is, ways to get people to pick up the skills and, as I'll talk about, the attitudes that are necessary to be able to recognize fact from fiction.
First, it would seem that you'd have to have the attitude of understanding that fake news has to do with fact and fiction, not just opinion.
Well, that's right. Everybody quotes Moynihan's, the late Senator Pat Moynihan's view that everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but they're not necessarily entitled to their own facts. If it were only that easy, because facts and opinions get merged. But I think what the attempt to change fake news, to overcome the fact news and to get people to assess information better, and there's a whole lot of it now nationally and so on, and Ann Ullman teaches a course in which it's you learn it at the university.
And her students have just put together a 14-point
yes.
checklist, so if you want to know what fake news is, this can help you.
That's right. You can. The real challenge is that teaching people how to assess news is not like woodshop. What it really in woodshop, it's all about skills building. It isn't very much about what your, you know, how much confirmation bias has, what your predispositions are. When you're teaching something about learning to assess the news so that you can tell fact from fiction, truth from lies, so that you can assess it, there's really two things going on. There's that kind of skills that you need, and a lot of these lists, including the list that Ann Ullman have, go along those lines. How do you assess? What do you look for? How do you tell if it's authoritative? This is especially on social media. The real challenge is that we're up against the idea that people have very strong predisposed notions about how the world works. And in some ways, when you're teaching folks to learn how to assess news, you also have to understand two things, one of which is that there are lots of people who don't want to do that. Really, three things. There's a second thing. When they try to do this with kids, they discover kids don't know what news is. They ask a question, what's news? They didn't really know. But the third thing is that we carry with us a strong sense of values, as I've talked about before, that predispose us to want to believe more things than others. It's a whole lot like teaching.
Right. So it's got to get through your own bias and
yes.
filters before you pay attention to it. So then what's to be done to combat fake news in its new meaning?
Well, and it's, you mean in its new, well, first of all, to understand, if the first thing you want to do is to understand how the term fake news, the way it's defined, is itself fake news. When Donald Trump says CNN produces fake news because it disagrees with what he believes, one of the little check tests you can give is, why is that fake news? I mean, isn't it just that we disagree on how to interpret a certain sort of thing? So that's the first thing. If you look at how these courses work, and there's courses for students and there are courses for journalism, at the same time, they're explicitly focusing on building the skills, learning things that would seem, you know, learning things that involve, where did this person get the evidence? What's the website like? You're essentially trying to socialize them into being more self-critical, into examining their own ideas as well as examining the ideas of others. And that's where the real challenge is, because we know how hard it is to persuade people, and we know how insidious rumors are. If you just keep repeating rumors, rumors really do take on a power of their own. So that's really what the challenge is here. And it remains to be seen whether these courses are going to be able to, how good a job they're going to be able to do this.
Media literacy within the greater context, what you've just been talking about, making it incumbent upon people to find out, to go and seek out information, ask the question, why is this true, why is this not true, and how do we know? That's one part of it. But what about media itself?
Well, there's a couple of things going on there, too. First of all, the media is very different. I mean, that's just the you have the explosion of social media, and you have, in a sense, the shrinking of traditional media. There are more and more newspapers have cut back on staff. It's harder to find people who are politically experienced who know how to write about this. So that's one problem. Part of what news organizations are trying to do is to figure out ways to assess these kinds of tweets, these kinds of things, in a quicker manner. That's pretty hard to do. One of the ways you do it is to you constantly upgrade your website. So that's one side. The citizens media, the citizen literature is on the other. But they're still based on the same notion of assessment. Now, professional news people are socialized and understand it's part of their ethic that what you're doing all the time is being skeptical of information. You have to find more sources and so on. That's the same thing you're trying to do with your average person if they're interested.
Who may not be predisposed to doing that at
all.
Well,
yeah, that's right. One may not be predisposed. Two may not read at all. Or
have the time to do it. I mean, people say what? You don't.
Sure.
The trust factor that we've seen erode for, you know, the last decade or so especially with people may not lead them to want to go to media sources in the traditional sort of way.
Oh, that's right.
So what
they
happens?
They don't. It isn't even may. They don't go to the media sources in a traditional way. Yeah.
But even the media sources that are on social media, people who are looking for alternatives and who want something that they can trust so they don't have to go through all this, you know, constant proving of is it right and do I know and how do I. Although those critical thinking skills that have been also eroded over time could use a little bit of shoring up. A lot of people feel that way. I know you do. But what happens then to media as it's summarily told it's fake news because someone has an opinion that disagrees with what they're putting out?
Well, the media just has to figure out a way to fight back. I mean, that's essentially what they're doing. When some of this tension between Donald Trump and the media is based on the saying that we're not going to let you get away with this. It's a tough one to answer because it's not simply about responding in a neutral sense. It's about trying to speak truth to power when power isn't very interested, and also trying to speak truth to a lot of other citizens who may not be all that interested in it either. I think that part of the real difficulty here is that it is so easy for people to get so many sources of information so quickly, especially since they tend to search in things that they look for.
By agreement.
It's very simple. This is how fake news gets created, one of the ways. And you see how simple it is. Guy wakes up in the morning. He's a highly partisan guy. He writes a 200-word story about President Obama that's totally based on rumor and innuendo, puts it on his website, tweets it. His website's got a lot of regular followers. It goes viral, and there isn't any kind of checking. I'm amazed, even sitting among my friends who are liberals, the way that they would grasp onto just the goofiest anti-Trump information during this campaign, because it's just so tempting in a polarized atmosphere.
Which is to say, it cuts both ways.
It does cut both ways. Well, yes and no.
And we don't often talk about that part.
That's right. But clearly in this situation, there is no question that the alt-right and that the let's call it ultra-conservative, has been much more have used this thing much more. This is, in some ways, this is where Andrew Breitbart from the Breitbart Report really got his start in doing this kind of interpretive fake news.
All right. Well, we're going to see what other things come out as fake news or as term fake news and give us some more to talk about as we move through. It's going to
we'll
get more
interesting. We'll have no problem finding it.
I don't think so, exactly. Thanks very much, Neil.
Sure.
Contributing editor Neil Milner joins us every other week for a look at the long view. We've posted a Poynter Institute primer on protecting yourself from fake news. It's on our Facebook page, Hawaii Conversation.